Listeners, you've heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers. Well, the same can be said about co-parenting. If navigating the beginning of the year has been difficult due to an ex's alcohol abuse, I have the perfect solution, SoberLink. SoberLink is more than a portable alcohol monitoring tool. It's a pathway to new beginnings and stronger, healthier family dynamics. How it works is simple. Your co-parent will test at scheduled times. It has built-in facial recognition, which confirms their identity. There are tamper sensors that flag any attempts to cheat, and results get sent instantly to your phone, giving you peace of mind that your kids are with a sober parent. Honestly, when it comes to child safety in custody and alcohol cases, there is no system that I recommend more. So lay the groundwork for brighter days ahead and visit SoberLink.com/Susan to learn more and get $50 off on your device.
Coming up on today's episode of the Divorce and Beyond podcast.
So it's moment to moment co-creating with what the next step is. And the idea, if you only need to see what's right in front of you, pay attention. And it takes the pressure off of having to figure out all the steps of what's next.
Hello, and welcome to the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. As a top divorce attorney and family law mediator for 30 years, I know what you need to know to get through your divorce, and most importantly, how to move beyond it to thrive and transition to your new future. My experts and I are here to give you the insider view into the process, so listen in for the wisdom and expert information you need on your journey through divorce and beyond. Welcome back, listeners, to part two of Leading with Light, How to Make Divorce an Opportunity with Jennifer Mulholland and Jeff Shuck. So if you were with us on Monday, Jennifer and Jeff told us a little bit of the backstory of Leading with Light and why I wanted to have them help you all find the opportunity in divorce. Because as you know, I'm always talking about the fact that divorce is not a failure and in fact is an opportunity to create a brand new future. But how do you do that? So Jen and Jeff have a brand new book called Leading with Light, Choosing Conscious Leadership When You Are Ready for More. And although their book is for business folks, there's so much about their four lights of conscious leadership that lead to a framework to help you find your beautiful beyond that I asked them to come and create this special two-part series with me. So if you haven't listened to part one, be sure to go back and listen to it before you listen to part two. Listen in as Jeff and Jen help you find the light in your beyond. You talk about the lights, we've alluded to them, but let's tell people, because now we've sort of really taken them home with, yes, you know, change happens, you need to move, you know, good things can come, et cetera, but how do they move forward? And this is really what you do with your clients, as well as you've so generously shared in the book, is about the four lights of conscious leadership. So tell us about those.
Well, I kind of started unfolding those with the first light. So maybe I'll just start there. Yes, we have four lights that have really helped Jeff and I navigate the uncertain path and become our most whole selves in relationship to the light beyond us. And we do believe we're all come from the same source, as you heard me say before, and that we're all connected. And that we need each other to grow and to heal and to thrive. So these four lights are kind of have been our touchstones, if you will, our tethers when there are no instructions, when life is uncertain and things get swirled up and you have to, like, how do you know what to do? How do you know when you know, right? So the first light is really the kind of the most basic, I think, what you would read in a traditional or somewhat traditional leadership book, that a leader is a light for others, that idea, we kind of really believe that at the fundamental core, you are light. And again, whatever you name that to be, that essence that come from your divine nature, your self and soul, your God self, whatever language or name you have for it, that you are light. And as a leader, whether it's in your family, if you're a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, you're a light for others. And so oftentimes, leadership or that light really is seen when it's dark. And that kind of passes the baton to the second light that I'll let Jeff tee up.
Well, the bridge to the second light is, you know, if the first light says you are a light, it's a way of saying you belong. You're meant to be here. You're not defined by who you've married or your job title or your role. You're bigger than all of that. And the second light kind of goes a little deeper. And we say the second light is the light's always on. And what we mean by that is kind of what I said earlier about when you get thrown out of the raft and you just feel like you're swirling around, you still have every bit of strength and light and positive potential that you had when you felt unstoppable. And what if it were that when we feel moments or weeks or times of depression or anxiety or stress or fear, what if those thoughts were actually engineered to remind us that we're okay? You know, what if we approached periods of just complete despair by instead of believing those thoughts, seeing them as mile markers that take us back to the first light of, okay, I belong here. I'm okay here. So the second light is the light's always on, whether you think it is or not.
And that, like, I mean, for all of us, the human journey is up and down. It's certainly not linear, right? Like, we wish we would have all these like beautiful, rosy, glorious days, but it's just not how it works. You could go to sleep feeling awesome and waking up feeling like shit. And you're like, what happened in between in my dream state? Well, that's the nature of being human. And so the idea is that if we actually identified with the light within, beyond our feelings, beyond our circumstance, beyond our mood, and trust and look within to that deeper layer, right? That the light's on no matter what, no matter how I feel. And that can give us comfort and resilience and perseverance with the up and down days. That leads us to the third light, that we only have to see what's right in front of us. So as business leaders, as parents, as all the roles we play in culture, we have given a ton of credence and credibility and respect to future planning and future thinking. And this light brings us back to the power of presence. Our innate ability to be here, to bring our awareness to this precious present moment. And when I do, I get to bring awareness to what I see. So we use the metaphor of a lantern, which is also the name of our conscious leadership retreat we have in Park City a few times a year. And the idea is that if you're walking through a dark forest and it's you can't see, and you have a backpack on, and you've somehow have a lantern in your backpack, you turn the lantern on and you bring it above your head. Well, it only illuminates about 10 feet around you. It doesn't illuminate the next mile or 1,000 yards out. You can't see what's in the dark, and you don't need to. The idea of the lantern is that it literally, of your light, it illuminates what you need to see right around your field. So the invitation is to pay attention to what you see, what you hear, what you notice. When you think of a person and they call, pick up the phone, right? When you are driving along the highway and you get all green lights that day, wow, notice that you're in flow. If you see a word on a license plate of a car it just might be the exact word you needed to keep going. Like, these signs and signals and whispers are around us all the time, but often we are so busy skipping ahead, planning ahead, scenario planning, not being here, multitasking, that we aren't seeing what is being illuminated right around us. So when we get to notice what is right in our field and how we feel interacting with that, what we notice, it informs what next step to take. And guess what happens when we take that next step? The light comes with us because we are that light. So it's moment to moment co-creating with what the next step is. And the idea, if you only need to see what's right in front of you, pay attention. And it takes the pressure off of having to figure out all the steps of what's next.
Yeah, there's a tyranny of the to-do list that isn't really helpful. And I think there's a, especially in times of transition or tragedy, it's tempting to go right to that to-do list. And I still remember that, you know, the day after my dad died, coming home and sitting down with my family, and there was this whole list of shit to do, right? It's like, someone's got to call them the mortuary. And it's like, well, we actually can just sit and cry for a bit. And so the third light is about just what needs to happen next. You know, you can absolve yourself of needing to figure everything out. And that takes us to the last light. The fourth light is, there's a larger light guiding us. And it's kind of full circle back to the first light, Susan. We mean, and Jen said this a number of times on the podcast already, we mean that you're part of a bigger architecture, right? And whether you want that to have a religious connotation at all, it doesn't matter. You can look at it from a scientific perspective, but you're not the only one on the planet, is what we're saying. And, you know, the example we always use is, the sun doesn't rise in the morning because your iPhone says it's going to rise at the time the iPhone says. The sun rises, and then we see that, and we're part of this bigger world and this bigger fabric. And it's not to say we're insignificant. We believe we have a huge part to play that's vitally important that only we can play, but we're part of this symphony that we need to be here, and that our part is needed and wanted. And sometimes life is about just taking steps to find that out in curiosity, because it's not easily apparent a lot of the times. So I have one more thing I want to say about the lights, but Jen, I know you're going to want to make a point about the fourth light, so I want to make sure that you do.
Well, I will now. I think that the curious thing to us is just, the more aware, aligned, and intentional we can become, the more playful it becomes to play with the larger light, whatever you name that to be, to really co-create. And that light is also in other human beings. So the idea of looking for the light in your ex-husband, your ex-wife, might be really challenging, but it's where, if I'm made of light, so are you, so are they. It's in everyone. And so it, in the spirit of the opportunity of the beyond, Susan, that you are teaching and talking and holding space for your listeners, it's the opportunity to co-create with the light that is in others and the higher light that may be really challenging to understand, to label, to get, but that this idea that we're part of something greater. And what would that look like? What would our lives beyond look like if we got into a more playful, co-creative space with the light that's within us and the light beyond?
Lovely, lovely. And the point I wanted to end with about these four lights is, we call them lights intentionally. We intend them to be like candles that you light when things get dark, but we specifically don't call them steps or practices or competencies, or, you know, we wanted to write a book about how to be better and more full and fulfilled in your life, not another list of shit you have to do. And so I hope people can hear that as we talk. Back to what you said at the beginning, we don't claim to know that we have the answers for the people listening. We do believe they have their answers. And that if we can give ourselves some light when it feels dark, and give ourselves some calm when everything around us feels chaotic, we will find the wisdom within us to navigate whatever situation we have.
Well, and that's the beautiful part, right? That's the gift right there that you can give to yourself, because for so many people, especially when things are dark or difficult, it becomes so easy to be focused on that, or to, I know for my listeners, so often look to external sources to make those changes. Like if only he would change, or if only she would do this. It's very easy to focus externally, or to focus on what happened in the past, as opposed to, because the future is a little too scary to look at. And so that metaphor you used, Jen, of the lantern over your head, just illuminating that area, just, you know, around you and on you, you know, for my listeners, just to think of that for this moment in time, if that's where you're at, just be thinking, you know, that in this moment in time, having that light and having that trust in that light right around you now, that it's illuminating and it will go with you. There's really something beautiful in that. And I'm wondering, you know, without giving away, as I said, the secret sauce of the book, because frankly, listeners, you know, to get all of this, the book is the place to go. I wonder if you might just share, you know, the book does a wonderful job, and you've included a number of reflections, and I don't know that I'd call them exercises, but just things that people can do to help them along in their journey, to give them maybe something a little concrete to do. Knowing where people are who are listening, maybe you could each share just a little insider tip for people to give them an idea.
Sure. One of the practices that we have that has been just an incredible tool to navigate what feels on or off and how to interact with the moments in the moment is the idea of noticing when you feel expanded or contracted. It's super simple. So when you're in a conversation with somebody, noticing how your body feels to you. Our body gives us signals and wisdom all the time, and we often live so in our mental intellect that we are missing the cues from our body. But honestly, it's like this reservoir of wisdom that is so personalized to each one of us, it acts a different way. But when we say notice or pay attention, when you go into a room, when you are on the phone with somebody, when you're interacting with another person, just check in and notice, do you feel safe? Do you feel calm? Do you feel relaxed? Do you notice that you're leaning into the conversation, that you're engaged, that you want to know more? Are you open? Literally, are your hands open? Are your eyes open? Or do you find yourself, your eyes start to look at anything but the person in front of you? Do you realize, find yourself leaning back? Do you cross your arms? Do you start to feel shut down? Do you want to procrastinate? Do you want to get the hell out of the conversation as fast as you can? Like, your body gives you cues as to whether you are expanded or contracted. And it's a really amazing question to tune into that helps you build more awareness moment to moment in interacting with anybody. So do you feel alive and lean in? Do you find that your voice gets louder? I talk with my hands when I'm feeling expanded. One of the things that I talk about in the book personally is when I would give keynotes and speak in front of people, my neck would flush red. And I used to be really savvy at picking these awesome scarves and covering it up with my wardrobe, until I realized that actually I was covering up the teaching point, that my body, as being an athlete for decades, that's how I would get ready to perform. And I can't control it. I can't stop it. So knowing that that helps me get ready, I started to take the scarf off and share vulnerably, like, this is just what my body does to get ready. So how does your body talk to you? Does it feel expanded or contracted? Notice it.
The one that I would point to, and there's many places in the book where we invite people to practice this, is the power of journaling. And not that there's necessarily anything magic about writing, but the practice of journaling to help us kind of get out the bad stuff, but also create a little bit of distance between our thoughts. And I don't really go into this part of the story in the book, but the year or two after my dad was killed, I found that I became an excellent architect of my environment, right? I was triggered by everything. So I got really good at planning things around in my life. So it all went a certain way. I only hung out with a certain group of people. I only ate a certain kind of food. I couldn't ride as a passenger. I had to drive everywhere. I took antidepressants. Like, I just started to design everything. Well, it's really hard to be in a relationship and in a business and to have four kids when you need to construct how everything goes. And eventually, I just found I was so raw if I wasn't controlling every single interaction. And I kind of broke again. About 12 years ago, I started journaling every day. I just looked up at my streak today. It's 4,107 days in a row I've journaled. And it has been such a helpful, amazing practice of helping me realize that I'm not my thoughts and helping me see patterns, helping me see what scares me, helping me decide if that's what I want, helping me see what invigorates me and helping me decide if that's what I want, and helping me get unaddicted to triggering, positionality, arguing, replaying arguments. Oh, I used to love to replay arguments, right? You know, and I would win them again and again. And I can't believe he said it. And by the way, every time I replayed them, like, they would still say the same thing they did the first time. I got it figured out, because Jennifer would tell you I don't. But it's been a really important practice to me in getting to know myself. And I always joke with people, and this is like not a joke, 95% of the entries are total drivel, right? It's embarrassing. It's cringeworthy when you reread them. But the process of having one place where the commitment was, I will not lie in this forum, and you practice honesty, you practice trust, you practice awareness, and that allows you to extend it to people around you. So it's something that found me at my lowest point in life, and it's something I believe strongly. And I think what's really great about the book, to bring it back to the actual question you asked, is there's a lot of different points in the book in a very, I think, supportive way, not a demanding way, that will say, take a moment and reflect on this, or take a few seconds and write this down. It's not a term paper, but just to give you a chance to have that reflection yourself. And I think in a companionship with the reflection that Jen's sharing, it's two powerful awareness tools that can, I think, really help people see what they want and what they are right now.
Both of your tips are so wonderful. And they, to me anyway, come back to awareness, right? They come back to taking us outside of the monkey that's running around at least in my head. And I can tell you all, by the way, Jeff and I were recently last month in the same place for 3 days at a retreat. And each morning I saw him, he's a member of the 5 a.m. club. I saw him every morning down there with his cup of coffee, and he was doing his journaling. So he's not just saying, he's just not talking the talk there. He actually does that. And we've talked on the show before about the power of journaling. I know for me, it's, you know, just those moments every morning when I sit down and I put my fingers on those keys, I have absolutely no idea what is going to come out. Drivel might be the word for a lot of it, but one of the most incredibly helpful exercises that I've ever undertaken. I'm not up to your number of entries yet, Jeff, but I can highly recommend it. So, you know, there's so much to the journey that you have shared in your book. This has just been a light smattering, as I'm going to say for my listeners, a few of your golden nuggets that you've shared here. But the book is really where it's such a generous sharing. This isn't a sort of one of those light overviews, and then really the goal is, hey, come, you know, train with us, or come consult, hire us as consultants, or come to one of our retreats. You've really taken the care and effort that I think you put in with your clients, but have shared it very, very openly in the book. So tell people more about the book. How can they get it? How can they find out more? They even, I know, can download the first chapter. So tell us more.
Well, you can find us currently on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and any place you buy your book. It's in Kindle, paperback, and hardcover. Audible version will be coming out in a few months. If you want to learn and download the first chapter for free, you can go to leadingwithlightthebook.com. And if you're interested in doing more of an experiential retreat on these principles, we have Lantern, our conscious leadership retreat, and you can find out more at plentyconsulting.com about that, where conscious leaders come from all over the world, all different sectors, all different transitions, to spend 3.5 days really reconnecting to their light. And it's just an incredible gift to witness the transformation that happens when people turn their own lights on. And then lastly, I would just say, which we are definitely having you on as our next guest, we have our own podcast, Plenty for Everyone, that you can find on wherever you listen to your podcast.
Such a wonderful name, Plenty for Everyone. So I thank you both. This has turned into just the episode that I knew it would be, to help people stop hearing me say divorce is an opportunity. Yeah, but Susan, how do I do that? And we're starting you all on that journey in this episode. Continue the journey. Find the light in your beyond, in your life. So please reach out and get the book. As always, I will have all of the information in the show notes for you all. And I just want to say, this is, a brand new book. One of the number one things that you can do for authors of their books is, besides get the book, is to, once you have read the book, please go and put a recommendation on Amazon, leave a review, let them know what you thought of that. That is honestly, you all do it for me all the time for the podcast. Do it for the book, because it's really the best way for other people to find the light. So thank you both for being here. I truly appreciate your time and your sharing.
Thank you so much for having us. And thanks for the difference you're making in so many lives. We really appreciate this. Thank you.
Yeah, what an honor to share time with you today and across paths. So thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me today on the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I hope you found some information and inspiration to help you on this journey. Please join me every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a new episode. And if you like the show, please take the time to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find more information on the website at divorceandbeyondpod.com, where you'll find links to the YouTube channel, transcripts of the episodes, and other bonus content. So I'll see you next week to help you move through your divorce and beyond.